Hi, this is Cody Cece, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Hi, this is Andrew Hammond, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
This is Fred Clayson, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Hi, this is Danny Hobbs, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Hi, this is Chris Webb, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Hi, this is Nathan Lawson, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Hi, this is Curtis Lazar, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network. Welcome to Season 2, Episode Number 3 of the Sens Call-Ups for Sunday, September 29th, 2013. I'm Cardinal, your host, and I'm here with Pan and Canuck. The preseason is over, and the games that count are about to start. So there's lots to talk about, as well as the usual NHL stupidity to rant about. The forums at sensunderground.com are getting busy. You can email us at podcast@senscallups.com, and you can find us on Twitter. Boys, how about those Islanders games?
Yeah, I just switched out my jersey for the recording. Just need to shake something up.
Well, I'm glad those are over.
That was the most boring game I have seen since 1995, when I went to go see the Florida Panthers at the... Oh, it must have been 95. At the... Lansdowne, wherever that is.
Civic Center,
that's it. And they just played the trap the whole time.
Well, I have to admit, I wasn't watching the game because I was out of town for the weekend. I was coming back in. I got a little bit of it on TV at one point, a little bit on the radio when I got home, and didn't look too inspired. But we'll get
to
that.
I was there and I didn't even watch it. There's nothing.
That's nothing bad.
So congratulations, Chris, on winning the pair of tickets to go to that game. No refund, sucker.
No refund, sucker.
The worst gag gift than the bonk jersey.
Oh, dear.
Well, there are other preseason games to talk about. There's lots of other stuff going on both in the Sens world and the rest of the NHL. So we do have other things to talk about than just a couple of really lousy games against the Islanders. So, are we ready?
I guess we're doing it this week because there actually was hockey. Game on! I'm coming off a cold here.
Okay. Gave it a good try. Okay, I want to go through these games pretty quickly. There are a couple of things to talk about in a few of them, but I mean, it's preseason, so there's more to not talk about in these games, or some of the things that you can talk about are pretty infinitesimal, so we'll get through them pretty quickly. Preseason game number 3 was the 3-2 loss to the Leafs. The good news out of that game was that we have new Swedish goal scorers in the form of Claesson and Peterson, or Claesson. Which way is it? Is Claesson? Okay, I keep getting going back and forth on that one. The weird thing that I want to talk about in this game was a situation that JGP got into, where he got two minutes for boarding contract. Oh. Okay, 2 minutes for boarding contract. Yeah, that was a borderline call, but all right.
It wasn't even a board; it was a stand-up hit.
Well, yeah.
It was a stand-up hit in the corner. Yep.
And then he gets 2 minutes roughing against Kadri. Kadri gets nothing. Clarkson gets 2 minutes for unsportsmanlike conduct when it's two against one, Clarkson and Kadri against GGP. And JGP comes out with it with a bloody face. And Kadri gets nothing.
Even though he drops his gloves?
Yeah. And then scores on the power play.
Yep.
That was the turning point. There's two quick goals right there.
Yeah, exactly. Two quick goals right there. But how does it, you know, if he drops his gloves and he's pushing and shoving with JGP, and then Clarkson comes in as well. How is it that Kadri gets nothing? Oh, wait. Sorry. He plays for Toronto. We already know that from something we'll be talking about later on, some of the other stuff that's gone on in preseason, we already know there are different sets of rules for Toronto
than there are
for other people. Exactly. Least typical. That was the sort of interesting point of that game. Wierkosz looked good in that game. Carlson was starting to look like his old self. So there were certainly good parts to that game. But that's really all I wanted to talk about.
It wasn't too bad. I was actually at that game. Pan, were you there too? No.
No, not this one.
The funny part was, you know, it's preseason game. So I think the attendance was around 17,000. Pretty good show. And there wasn't as many Leaf fans as you get for a regular season game, understandably. But, you know, it's a decent gathering of them as well. But when the Leafs scored, it was like they were standing up like and cheering like they won the Stanley Cup, like they always do. But it was so funny that when the Sens scored, there'd be this Leaf fan behind me. He, sit down, just the preseason, settle down, guys. And it's the same guy.
Hello, kettle.
Yeah.
Well, typical.
That was also a Tuesday, right? So
yeah, it was a Tuesday.
You had the out-of-towners.
Thursday night. So yeah, it was a tricky one.
No, anyway. Well, it was a weekday.
Yeah.
Yep.
And yeah, they're ridiculous because I think they started to chant. No, that was Habs.
And that was last week. We'll get to that.
Yeah, they're okay. Yeah.
That's all I really want to talk about that game. The next one was last Tuesday, September 24th, and that was the Sens win over the Leafs with goals from Zach Smith, Jim O'Brien and Colin Greening. There was the one thing that really stood out for me in that game, and I didn't get to watch the whole thing, just little bits and pieces of it, but I happened to be watching when Wierkosz made that unbelievable stretch pass to, I'm not sure who it was to. I think it was DaCosta. It wasn't converted into a goal, but it was one of those just flip it out and he's at the far blue line and off he goes by himself. It was just a beautiful.
He's pretty good on that stretch pass too.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Because it's not the first time we've seen him do that.
Yeah. He's our new Redden.
Well, it was good to see. I was very happy to see that guy, that happening because that takes a little bit of the pressure off Carlson to be the one who's always trying to build the offense from the back end. So pleased about that.
Yeah. I think that's what I like about the three guys that they've got in Carlson, Wierkosz and Corvo, because all of them will try that long pass. And I think Carlson will just end up, instead of doing the long pass most of the time, he'll just skate it out, but he uses that as an option. And Corvo tends to forget that he's an odd defenseman sometimes. Just tries to take off.
Well, at least that was a win. And that one was in Toronto last Tuesday. So win in Toronto, followed by a game the next night in Ottawa, which was a 5-2 win over the Habs, but it was a bit of a lopsided affair because it was an awful lot of the big team Senators against mostly the Hamilton Bulldogs and with Peter Budaj in net.
Yeah.
There was that beautiful deke and goal by Bobby Ryan. That was sick. He just totally undressed that defenseman, got around, and it was just a laser beam of a shot. It was gorgeous. So it's one of those things that I'm looking forward to seeing more of because that's what we keep hearing that he's good at. So I'm hoping he can make that a regular occurrence. It was a good game for Stefan DaCosta. And some people may not be too fond of that. And it was a night. Now, Ben, you were at this game, were you not?
I was there.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, because it's really hard to find box scores for some of the stuff, and I was rather busy when I was putting together these quick game summaries. Chris Neal had two fights in that game?
Yeah.
Yeah, both against Ryan White?
White.
Well, okay, now, was the second... The last one was late in the third?
It was late in the third, and Cassian jumped in.
Okay.
For some reason, I really don't know why.
Well, Canuck, you saw Chris Neal the next night, did you not?
Yeah, I saw him at the Cart Fair.
And did you not say he had he was a little bit nicked up at the time?
Well, I can't assess his the state of his health, but certainly one of his middle fingers on, I believe, his left hand was taped up a little bit. So,
I was wondering if that might have been the reason that Cassian jumped in there, because he knew that Chris Neal had a hurt hand. And he was like, no, White, you're not pulling this kind of crap again. You want to pull it, you're going to pull it on me. And I think that's probably why he jumped in.
So I think Cassian just jumps in for the sake of jumping in. Listen, Neal, if Neal wants to go, Neil's going to go. He'll make his own decision on that. He's got nothing to prove against Ryan White either.
True. Ryan White is just a pain in the behind who got schooled by Jared Cowan last year in the playoffs, and maybe just needs to keep getting schooled till he learns not to do that anymore, but it would be nice.
Yeah, and like that hurts the team. It was a one goal game. No, no, it wasn't. It was 5-2. But still, I don't get it.
Game 6 was the next night in Montreal. It was Thursday, September 26th, and this was mostly Binghamton against mostly the Habs, so the reverse of the game before, where it was mostly Senators versus the Bulldogs. This game, I have to admit, I didn't watch. I had things going on that night. The one thing that I know in this game was that Travis Moen decided to go with Cassian and got absolutely owned, apparently. But I didn't see it. Another good game for DeCosta, though. A lot of people were saying that after a number of these games the past week, that Stefan DeCosta had a number of good games in a row, but I'm afraid I didn't see them. Do you guys have anything to add on that one?
Not this game. I missed most of it.
Okay. I didn't even see it.
DeCosta's looked good. Like, he knows where the play's going. And actually, Bobby Ryan mentioned that on the radio tonight, too. But it's his skill level's just, like, I guess at the NHL and the pros. He's just a step behind, but always just a step behind.
Well, it's a big step up from where he was last year or the year before. So,
how old is he?
24? Not entirely sure, to be honest.
It's around that.
Yeah.
See ya. We know he's not going to improve that much.
Yeah, probably not. Anyway, the two games today, I didn't see either one of them because I was away. I was coming back into town when the games were going on. I was listening to it a bit on the radio, but it was driving on a dark road in a train of about 50 cars on a very twisty two-lane road. I decided I should probably pay more attention to traffic than the game. So
they laid a brick in Barrie and they laid a brick in Ottawa.
Oh, enough said. Okay.
Yeah, I think James Gordon even tweeted that the Senators doubled down against the New York Islanders.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, I was dropping a friend off and turned the game on, or the game was on, and on TV. And it was just at the end of a TV timeout that they were showing that the coach was really ripping a strip off the players during that TV timeout. But I don't think it really did much because they didn't seem to be any more energized. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I weren't sure if you were laughing or if you were waiting to say something there.
I think Pam
just
choking probably
like the team did.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah!
Save your voice there, Pam.
Yeah. Why? Don't waste your voice. We can get Roger Daltrey to do it for you. It's okay. However, you did put out a good tweet. And there were some funny responses to that tweet. So I thought I'd throw that in here so we'd at least have something positive to come out at the end of the preseason. Because you tweeted out, this game was missing, ... And some of the answers that came back were actually pretty clever. Stephen G said the other half of the split squad, which made me laugh. Sen Center Ice said Hart. Heather said more goals by the Sens. Derek said anything other than what we saw on the ice tonight. I like that one. Daniel said, take out the blank from that sentence. So that just becomes, this game was missing. I like that one. But my favorite of all the responses was from our interviewee from last week, Alex, Sens DJ. And he said, this game was missing, ... More cowbell. Yeah. I like that one. I laughed.
And he actually tweeted that during, he gets a pause Ooh. Twin Play. I was like, what's he doing just replying to this?
Well, maybe it was the organist who was playing, or they had something on the video board. So.
Good multitasker.
Yeah, you got a little time out. Well done. Well, just to talk a few more things about the Senators before we move on to the rest of the NHL and a couple of things I want to talk about there. You and I were both at FanFest last weekend.
Yeah.
And it was a chance to watch the game. There was a scrimmage game that was going on, and after that there were some opportunities to meet some players and get some autographs. And
okay, there you go. That's a comparison. The scrimmage game was better than tonight's games.
Oh, okay.
It seriously was.
Okay, well, there you go. That's not exactly good praise for tonight's games then. I had fun at the event. we met Sansgab at the event, and she tweeted afterwards that being around the two of us was like being at a live podcast. And I guess I guess that was good. I had to stop and think about it. It's like, well, what the heck does that mean? And I guess that's good. That's all I really came up with. So
I guess we'll somewhere take us to that Oilers game then.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe we are entertaining after all. I don't know.
I know there's maybe no sound effects there that day, I bet.
Yeah, they weren't missed. I don't think anybody commented that we were missing sound effects.
You've seen Harold from... Zing! You've seen Harold from the Red Green Show? That's me, right? With the big synth and everything.
Absolutely. Very 80s. Awesome. Just a couple of quick questions. I've seen a couple of things on Twitter and in the media about trying to find a new name for the top line, because you can't call it the pizza line. That's already been done. But I have yet to see anything that was even vaguely clever, to be honest. And I mean, I was thinking about it a little bit, but not a whole lot. But it does need that line needs a name, I think.
So what do we got? We got Bobby Ryan, Billy McCulloch, and Jason Spezza.
Yes.
It's a lot of consonants. So.
BRJSMM, yes. So start putting random vowels in the middle of it and see if you can make a word, I guess. But it's I haven't heard anything particularly clever. Some of them have been...
You always go with Ottawa Roars.
Ready for more? Yeah, okay. I haven't seen anything good about it yet, but I hope somebody comes up with something about it soon. I didn't catch this. Maybe you guys can help me out with this one. There was something about a week ago, and I don't know who it was who was saying it or who was asking it or whether it was just some sort of snide comment, but it was something about somebody saying that Bobby Ryan was overweight.
Well, it's friggin' Sean Simpson on the Team 1200.
That was Simmer.
Yeah, he is going on and on more than one day. He just is not impressed, feels he's floating out there.
Okay, well, that's all we need to talk about that then. Next subject. That's all we need to say.
I did like how Bobby Ryan just kind of told him, like, well, I'll just remember this in the case you need to guess at some point.
Yes.
Really?
He tweeted that back.
Good. Good. Well, so for that, I'm impressed. I that's a very, very good comeback, and that's really all it deserved. That's more than it deserved.
By the way, Pan, you got a tweet from Bobby Ryan too. Reply.
That's right.
Going back to that FanFest.
Tell everybody. That was good.
What was that? Oh, because where was it going that day?
It was the FanFest.
FanFest.
Was it FanFest?
Yeah.
So I basically just tweeted out to Mathod and to Ryan. It's like, which jersey do I wear? And everybody was like, Mathod. It's got to be Mathod. Definitely Mathod. I think Bobby Ryan got a little bit upset at that. One guy just wrote it was, obviously it's Mathod's the right choice. And then Ryan just ended up writing back, which is
obviously
kind of fun.
Obviously, that's not the right choice. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Very cool, actually. Very cool indeed. One last little bit of Senators news. We talked, I guess it was during the summer, about coaches moving around and that Kirk Kleinendorst, who was the former coach in Binghamton, who had been at University of Alabama, I think it was, had left there. He's now back in the AHL as the head coach of the Iowa Wild. So good for him. I was reading one article about it, and he said, I really love coaching. And in the AHL, coaching is 95% of my job. But when I was working for a university, it was less than 50. And I had all the other staff and athletic commission and all this other stuff to deal with that took me away from what it is I really want to do, which is be a coach. So that's why I left. Yeah. I thought it was a very telling comment about a guy who wants to do one thing, and he wants to be a coach. He's not trying to be a coach as a step into doing something else, like a GM or something. He wants to coach. And that's why he is going back into the AHL to continue doing that, and hopefully he makes it to the NHL. He was a good coach when he was in Binghamton. So hope it works out for him.
Yeah. So preseason's over now. We laid an egg on the last day. What do you think of the team? You just look at this and say, yeah, this is preseason. Who cares? Or we got some concerns? Are we going to throw the panic alarm here?
You just wanted to use that.
Well, that's a good question.
It is.
I'm nervous. You go first. I'm nervous. I do not like the lack of goal scoring. I think Connacher got 4 goals. And I don't even think he played all the games.
He didn't.
And he's gotten most of them with Churis and McLaren. So, yeah.
So Connacher won the Brandon Bochensky Award?
Yep. But don't call it that. Come on.
Well, hey, everybody knows what that is, right?
It's the Bobby Butler Award.
The Bobby Butler Award.
You everybody sure? knows that.
Well, he's not playing with Spezza and Heatley.
That's true.
One thing about today is it did split the team right in half. I mean, that kills. I mean, Pan, you were the first one to point it out when you saw the schedule. It just looked like a stupid ending to the preseason.
And that's exactly what it was. And the players that got interviewed tonight were just like, well, we couldn't really get anything going because it's only half of us.
Yeah.
All 3 interviewees complained about the split squad being the last game.
The game I saw against Toronto on the 24th, I thought, didn't look so bad. So I guess once we get the full team together and get a chance to see them, usually you get to see that at the end of the preseason, but I don't know. I'd be concerned too. You want to end the preseason on a good note, so you're kind of pumped to go, but yeah, guess we'll have to wait and see.
So let me get this straight. I call the split squad game to be a disaster. I called Joe Corvo to be signed by the Senators, and I called Zibanejad getting traded out on the second line wing. I'm scared.
So what did you call the season?
I'm going to call it Stanley Cup.
Right on. You won't be the first to predict it. I picked up a magazine today that predicted it.
I appreciate your optimism. I like it. I have to admit, I was listening to games. I wasn't watching them when I could. And I think this team has played too many preseason games. And there was too much of mixing up, putting people in and putting people out. I mean, I know that this team was basically set, except for one, maybe two positions up front.
Where people slotted in.
Yeah, where people slotted in needed to be worked out, but who they were going to be was fairly established. So there was a lot of trying out for pecking order. I don't know whether it's Binghamton versus Elmira, whether it's where they're going to sit in Binghamton, because Binghamton's camp was basically up here.
Yep.
Because when they were split after the first week of the preseason, it was basically the Ottawa team and the Binghamton team. Not quite. There was some overlap between the two of them, to be sure. But playing the last games as a split squad means you can't actually see this team together, so it's hard to see the way they're going to work out. I know I'm just repeating what you just said. I'm actually fairly optimistic. I think any team has some growing pains with new people coming in, and in our case, people coming back. We have some players coming back who had some very serious injuries, and even if they tried to play in the postseason last year, they weren't themselves. So it's almost like getting a new player who didn't play for us last year and trying to figure out how we're going to fit them in versus all the spare parts that we were using last year.
Well, that's the other thing too, because Jason Spezza didn't play because he's apparently having some groin strain. Thank goodness it's not his back. But I think Craig Anderson was nursing something too. He hasn't looked great yet.
No, he's looked a little.
Yeah, he hasn't been stellar. Yeah.
Not his usual self from starting the season last year. I'll agree with that. And Eric Greiba was out for a while as well, I think.
I think Greiba's going to be 6-7 on this team anyway, so that's not really a factor.
I think he'll be six tonight. I think he's going to be six as soon as Joe Corvo makes a couple of really serious mistakes that cost a game. And we know he can. And between the two of them, I'd rather have him playing with Phillips. That's the one thing that I will say. I'm still not fond of that signing.
Sold to Corvo, but stick him as a second power play option and just don't screw up too much.
Exactly. I mean, it may turn out that you put Phillips out with Weirkosh as the second pairing. It may end up being that rather than having Weirkosh and Carlson on the first one. That wouldn't surprise me at all. But we'll see. Who knows how it's going to turn out. I'm okay with it. I think the team is going to, I think they may struggle a bit to begin with, but they're also starting on the road, so they're not doing it in front of the home fans. So that may take a little bit of pressure off them.
They're going to be doing it in front of us.
Going to Toronto on a Saturday night. That's always fun.
Yep. But it's not home.
Yeah, we do great.
It's okay. We'll see. Pan and I will get them psyched up. We're going to cheer them on before the home opener.
I can't wait to get out there.
How many days? It's the 18th?
Yeah, Tuesday to Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that Sunday is going to be gold. Wake up in San Jose. I don't even know it. Wake up in San Jose, fly down to... What are we doing? Fly down to...
L.A.?
Drive from L.A. to Anaheim, watch the game, drive from Anaheim back to L.A.
Hit a red eye.
Immediately fly out.
Yeah.
Home.
You better hope it's not a shootout.
We may need to beat the Rush. It's an international flight.
Yeah.
So, boom, boom, boom. Final boarding call, Canucks and Pan. So final boarding
he's
call.
Leave me there.
Well, just travel with carry-on luggage only. No checked luggage.
Yeah, for a week, you can't.
Sure you can.
I've got small clothes being a little guy at home, but no. I don't really feel like washing my undies in the sink.
There's a piece of information that we really didn't need to know.
Yeah, why would you use a sink when you use the toilet anyways? Just throw some suds in there. And swirl,
spin cycle on it.
Travel like a pro. Come on.
Exactly. Come on.
It's back to the team, though. Robin Leonard. Holy crap.
Oh.
I love this guy. I don't think he likes us very much, but he's just all the time he can come in cold. He doesn't screw up. I don't remember if he played in the Montreal series at all last year in the playoffs. I know we got him into Pittsburgh once. I think he went maybe 2 weeks without playing, and he was solid. In preseason, his first game, and he just nails it. He's good.
He's the future.
Yeah.
Some people are already declaring we should trade Anderson while his stock is high.
I wouldn't yet. Well,
okay, I would not until we see if Robin Leonard can handle a shootout.
Yeah.
Number one. But, well, I'm glad to see that he's doing well.
Can you pull the goalie in a shootout and just have like a defenseman?
You can.
So you skate, have a skater against a skater rather than a skater against a goalie.
Yeah. It'd
be interesting. I don't know.
No, but that'd be fun. Volchenkov, out.
Well, he's like an extra goalie.
Yeah.
That could be fun. Anyway, stuff going on around the league. I had a question the other day that I was curious to find out what the answer was. If players are put on waivers to be sent down from the big team to the AHL team, if they have certain conditions, you know, played a certain number of games or whatever. And I was curious to find out if a player is out there that is going to be claimed, how does the claim process work? As in, what's the pecking order for it? Because we haven't played any games yet this season.
Last season standings.
Exactly. The final standings of last season. So if we were to put a player on waivers that multiple teams wanted, it's the worst team from last season that gets them. I figured that, but I wanted to double check on it. Have we Hoffman was put on waivers yesterday, you said? I guess he wasn't claimed by noon today?
Nope.
He cleared.
He cleared.
He cleared.
Okay. I always wonder what that looks like. Is it some app like eBay that the GMs have and they're watching this time tick down and somebody's there, I'm going to snipe him.
Well, they don't need to snipe him. They just need to be the worst team making the claim. It's not. It's any time before noon.
With Hoffman? You still high on him like you were last year?
I still think he has a great deal of potential. Yes, I do.
His second line potential doesn't clear waivers. Unless they have a terrible contract like Lyle's there, but.
Or other teams are still assessing their own talent. Calgary just traded for Joe Colborne. So they're obviously filling their own second line needs through some other way.
But yeah, and they gave up a fourth for it.
Exactly. Not
that
much.
That was helping out the Leafs.
Exactly. But I don't see a lot of teams picking up players on waivers to begin the season because they have to keep them or put them on waivers again themselves. So how often does it really happen? Not very often. I'm not too worried about it. We'll see. If he gets called up, we'll see what he has then. I think he has as much potential as a lot of other prospects that are down there.
And why did he make, or why was he sent down and someone like Prince didn't?
Because Prince is younger and doesn't need to clear waivers?
It was pretty much between Hoffman and
DaCosta. Do you think they're not
going
to carry any extra forwards? Maybe DaCosta for a bit, but.
Maybe that's it. I figure they're going to carry one extra one to begin the season out west. They might carry a rest. What's the maximum they can carry? 24, isn't it?
I can't remember.
Something like that. So
you have two or three extra guys, but.
I figure they're going to go out west with one extra forward and one extra defenseman. And see how it goes from there. Seem to recall this team has a problem with people getting injured when they're on Western road trips. So we'll see. I mean, the problem is it's hard to get somebody from Binghamton out west. That's a lot of connections. Because Binghamton, well, you got to get probably to Syracuse or down to New York City and then get across the continent. So, I don't know.
Hey, we're doing it.
Sorry, what was that?
We're going across the continent. They can do it too.
Yes. But you have advance notice of this.
Details.
You're not trying to do it in time for a game tomorrow night, starting right now.
Yeah. Oh, I can only imagine what they have to go through.
Yeah.
Do you have private charters, though?
They're not going to put a player on a private charter. Not if the team's already out there.
Melnick's jet, which now is a bicycle.
Nice. Stuff going on around the league. I don't know if you caught this, Pan, but Guillaume Latendresse was cut.
Yeah.
So he's nowhere at the moment.
He's unemployed now, yeah.
Yeah, he'll probably end up somewhere in
Europe. I guess he is unknown, isn't he?
Caught a weird piece of news. I don't know if this happened yesterday or today, but Andrew Ferentz was named captain of the Oilers.
Yeah, I think that was today.
Why is that a surprise? Were you expecting one of the young guys?
Yep.
I was, actually. I mean, he's a brand new player to that team. And
oh, okay.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Hmm.
And I went, okay, maybe that's why they brought him in, because they wanted to do this. They wanted a guy who's, you know, older, a little more experienced.
I don't even think Ferentz had an A, though, in Boston.
Not sure. But I think it's smart to not put it on one of the younger players, like Hall or Nugent Hopkins or not Yakupov. But
no, Yakupov's going to get traded.
Yeah. I think it's smart not to do that. Unlike a lot of other teams which are doing that, I think they're actually doing the right thing. Let the young forwards concentrate on being a forward and scoring and doing what they need to do, not having to carry all the extra workload of that as well, which would be a bit of a distraction.
What does that say about Ryan Smith, though?
Well, you see, that's the other side of the coin.
He's on his way out, I guess, but.
Again? Maybe. Well, it's hard to. It was one of the names I was wondering about, going, well, that seems kind of strange that they wouldn't use Ryan Smith.
Okay, what does Edmonton need? Defense?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. Good point.
A lot of it.
So my trade suggestion of Jim O'Brien, DaCosta, and Hoffman for Nail Yakupov isn't going to work, is it?
Not so much. We could probably find a defenseman they would want.
They're going to want a first back for Yakupov anyway.
Okay.
We don't have one.
No, we have to get a first for something else. We have to get one back. We will at some point.
McCulloch.
Maybe.
Yeah,
never know.
Trade deadline. Move him.
The other player who I heard was released from a professional tie-out, this one really surprised me. St. Louis released Ray Whitney. He was on a PTO. He just finished a 6-year, $24 million contract. He was the fifth overall pick in 2002 for Pittsburgh. And he was just released from a PTO.
Well, he was a first-round pick 12 years ago.
11, yeah.
11 years ago.
Yeah. So that makes him 29?
29, 30-ish, yeah.
Yeah.
Ray Whitney's always been a good player, in my opinion.
Yeah.
St. Louis is a very, very good team.
I think they're going to have trouble scoring. They're a gritty team. They got tons of grit. I think they're going to have trouble scoring.
But they've got your friend Derek Roy now, though.
I rest my case. Actually, Derek Roy can score. He can also dive.
Yeah, but... Yeah, they picked up Pjärvi, too. Picking up Pjärvi probably is what took out Whitney's chances.
Probably.
But Whitney ended up signing with Florida, too, so I think the agent probably got him a deal there. And
well, asked for him to be...
Offered to match or move, so...
Closer.
Cool. Oh, wow.
They've got Derek Roy and Max LaPierre.
Oh, brother. They're a gritty team. I think St. Louis is very gritty, but...
They've got defense up the wazoo.
Yeah.
These guys are great.
They're hard to score against, but I'm not really sure how much they're going to score. They also just signed Brendan Morrow last week. So... We'll see. I'm not completely convinced about them, but I don't think they're going to be. They're going to be a lot better. I mean, last couple of years, they've been a lot better than they were for sort of 10 years in a row. And I think they'll probably continue on that. But yeah, I think
they're trying to play a game very similar to Boston, I think. Except they don't really have the goal scorer like a Bergeron, I guess. But maybe TJ Oshie would fall into that. I am not surprised that Halak is not a Flame.
Or Elliott, one of the two. I'm kind of surprised.
I think they'd rather keep Elliott.
You think? Well, hard to say. I mean, I don't think
younger and he's cheaper. Jake Allen's going to be the guy in the future. And is good.
See. Yeah, we'll see. They're going to be a team to watch or continue to watch because they're certainly their first round series last year was just brutal.
Oh.
It was wow. This is old-time hockey where we'll beat the crap out of each other and whoever's left standing wins the series.
Yep.
Okay. Entertaining, but wow, very, very physical. The lots of interesting stuff going on with Toronto in the preseason and just in the past couple of days. And a couple of different things I wanted to touch on. Number one was Toronto and Buffalo went 15 rounds in a shootout.
Yeah, with that Paul Ranger awesome move.
Now, if we were 15 players into a shootout, who does that mean is shooting for Ottawa? Cassian? Here comes Chris Phillips on a shootout.
Yeah, you know what? Because you'd have he'd probably three guys who would not.
I think it might actually work. You never know. And then the next night, things got even more interesting in Toronto. That was, it started off with a player by the name of Tropp, got both he was knocked out and a broken jaw by one of the Leafs' AHL goons. And that's when John Scott went out and joked to Kessel that he was coming after him. And Kessel put his hand out on him, and Scott, I guess, thought, okay, I guess that means we're going. And Kessel went all Jedi lightsaber. That was a great gift. The best one was the one where they replaced his stick with a purse.
I like the purse. Yeah.
Kessel swinging a purse. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So Clarkson leaves the bench.
Yeah.
Kessel fights another player.
Kadri said that he really wanted to jump off the bench.
Yeah, Loops held him back. Kadri wanted to go too. But Kessel goes and gets his stick and then spears...
Wait, since when do you call him Loops?
Oh, that's what Kadri was calling him. Loops was holding me back.
Oh.
Loops.
Fruity yeah. Loops.
Loops. Isn't that what aerobatic aircraft fly? Anyway.
Lucky nicknames are hilarious.
Yeah, they're so original too, aren't they? Wow. That's amazing. Now, David Clarkson got suspended 10 games for leaving the bench. And Phil Kessel gets suspended for swinging, you know, the axe swings at Scott's legs and the spear afterwards gets...
No.
No, they didn't see the spear. That didn't happen.
No. Oh, that didn't happen?
That didn't happen. And the first slash was self-defense.
Yes, really. Okay, thank you, Toronto Media. Next. He gets 3 preseason games.
Yeah.
That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace!
Well, here's my question.
You know what I love?
Okay, go ahead.
When we have these really long and boring and annoying training days at work, you go, man, this is such a waste of time. I'd rather stay home. That's what Kessel got.
Pretty much. Loses no salary because it's preseason.
Yep.
And just gets to not play during the preseason, which is what pretty much everywhere, every veteran NHLer wants to do.
And gets to stay indoors probably with the shades drawn, and that's where he's comfortable. So
exactly. Now, so he gets 3 preseason games for a deliberate attempt to injure.
But he doesn't have any history of doing that either.
It's a deliberate attempt to injure. Deliberate okay. attempt to injure. Significant words there.
Match penalty given.
Yeah. While Zach Cassian gets 3 preseason and 5 regular season for an accidental high stick to Sam Gagner. Now, don't get me wrong. The results of that accidental high stick were not pretty. They weren't.
Yeah, that's where I think that's where the difference was.
Okay, so it was reckless and it caused an injury. So it's 3 plus 5, but a deliberate attempt to injure is only 3 preseason games. Because it was reckless, but because it wasn't, because it was reckless and it caused an injury.
It was garbage. And then okay. they even showed the clip of, was it the night before or 2 nights before?
Of Philadelphia.
Hacking at, one of the Flyers.
Yeah, exactly. But here's where I'm going with this. So Zach Cassian gets 3 plus 5 for an accidental high stick because it was reckless. What did Matt Cook get for being reckless? That caused an injury. It wasn't deliberate, quote unquote, but it was reckless and it caused a significant injury. And what did Matt Cook get? Nothing.
You going on the Carlson one for that?
Well, I'm taking these 3 things in one. So Zach Cassian gets 8 games. Phil Kessel gets 3 for a deliberate one. Cassian gets 8 for being reckless. Cook gets nothing. And I think I figured out what it is. I think I figured out where this bizarre borderline exists. It's before or after a whistle. If it's during a play, whether it's a headshot or somebody gets knocked out or there's a stick swinging and it's reckless or whatever, that's what you get suspended for. As soon as it's after a whistle and the game isn't actually being played, do whatever you like. Doesn't matter. The game isn't actually being played right now, so the rules aren't the same.
That doesn't explain the Cook on Carlson one.
No, it doesn't. But that one just didn't make any sense to anybody. But all this stuff that keeps going on that doesn't get cracked down on the way that the stuff that during the game gets cracked down.
I don't know how you do anything about the Carlson one.
You're applying logic to something illogical.
I'm applying logic to something that should have logic applied to it and doesn't, because there's more in play than what the actual action should be. It's not just what did the player do.
If that was a case, that if you want to talk about Matt Cook, that'd be Cook on Savard.
Sure.
But you're going back years at this point.
But even I
don't get. You know what the dumb part of all of that was? And I don't know the guy's name, but the coach of the Sabres lost more money than Kessel did.
Yep. Ralston.
Yeah.
And he got fined for something that doesn't exist. There's no rule.
There's no rule against that.
Yeah. He got fined for player behavior. Oh, there is no rule about player behavior. What were they going to fine him anyways?
Yeah, his jersey wasn't tucked in too.
Oh, well, yeah, just some of these rules. But, and that's the thing. It's like if the coach gets fined for having John Scott out and then John Scott losing it on the ice. And a coach gets fined $10,000 if there's an instigator in the last 5 minutes. Why does a coach not get fined when a player jumps off the bench?
Why does a coach not get fined when a player starts swinging his hockey stick like a lightsaber?
But we've had... No, that... Regardless, the point, my point is if you're trying to talk about strategies and stuff like that, because we've gotten Clarkson jump off the bench, Biznasty pretty much jumping off the bench. There was another one that jumped off the bench in that whole Islanders Penguins thing. Like Goddard, I think his name was. This happens a lot. If you end up finding the coach, these things don't happen. And you want to talk about predetermining a situation like putting out John Scott after a big fight where your player gets knocked out? Remember, I think it was last year. Must have been last year. Devils and the Rangers.
Yeah.
And the... I think the Devils were visiting. And they put out all their tough guys to start the game. So the Rangers ended up matching that up. Puck drops and it's an all-out line brawl.
Oh, yeah. That was a gong show, that game.
Yeah. And they did it again in, like, the next game.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where one of the Islanders players went after the goalie, then was basically standing, you know, 10 feet away.
This is Rangers-Devils.
Oh, sorry. I'm thinking the Islanders one from last year or the year before.
Yeah. So that was obviously the coaches going, I'm going to put my lineup like this. That wasn't a fine. And John Scott in the middle of the game, just making sure nothing else stupid happens? Come on. Like, no one cares about Buffalo, especially against Toronto. Nobody cares about Ottawa. No one cares about Columbus. And I think that's another thing. Like, Islanders and Sens, no one cares. Make them do the split squad, whatever.
Yeah.
Do that to a big market team? I don't think you'd have the same reaction to this at all.
Yeah, a split. If you did the split squad game early in the preseason, no big deal. But the last games of the, right at the end of the preseason, give me a break. Because
these guys were all
teams,
checked out.
Yeah, crazy.
And you screwed everything up, and now we don't play for 3 games until Friday.
Mm-hmm. Well, they gotta get everybody around everywhere they want to go. I just think it's stupid.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous.
I wonder how long it is before Jason Spezza in Toronto has something done to him or said to him which is upsetting, and he jokes the old pick up the stick and pretends to do the lightsaber swing and gets the fans after him.
No, he would probably get a 10-minute misconduct for conduct on becoming an NHL player for a rule that doesn't exist.
Well, they got to boo someone, right?
Touche. Anything else you really want to talk about around the NHL? There's stuff going on, but it's not all that interesting. We got some email to read. Do you want to just go straight to that? Because that'll take a few minutes to get through, and it is getting late.
Yep.
Holy crap, it's tomorrow.
It's already tomorrow.
Jeez.
Dun, Canuck, you're up with the first one.
Oh, geez, you gave me this one? Oh, boy. So we got an email from Homer, and the subject is smarter than your average NHL executive. Hi guys, I know that not setting the bar too high, but it appears that Islanders Brett Gallant and Devils Curtis Bartsch have done just that, along with the new rule that allows that all new players must wear a visor. The league added a rule that if a player removes their helmet prior to engaging in a fight, they will get an additional unsportsmanlike penalty. Okay, so you got to wear your visor. If you remove that helmet before a fight, you get a penalty. The rule, 46.6, reads, no player may remove his helmet prior to engaging in a fight. If he should do so, he shall be assessed a 2-minute minor penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct. Helmets that come off in the course of and resulting in the altercation will not result in a penalty to either player. Of course, this in addition to the rule is if a player wearing a visor is deemed the instigator of a fight, he will get an additional unsportsmanlike penalty. Before exchanging punches, Gallant and Bartsch removed each other's helmet and make the league's brain trust look like fools. Gotta love it. Other new rules are the jersey no-tuck rule, which has Ovechkin and Semin all worked up. I wonder if they'll call that one in overtime.
That's a good question.
They're giving hybrid icing a try in the preseason. I hope they keep it. Race to the face-off dot instead of a puck along the boards will reduce injuries from players getting plastered into the boards. Anyway, it's good to have hockey back, and I look forward to the game threads and a weekly dose of call-ups podcasts. Homer. Well, thanks for the email, Homer. Hey, it brings up some good discussion points.
I think the no-chuck jersey rule is, I'm wondering whether they're trying to go towards having some sort of advertising along the hem of the jersey at some point.
Yeah, that's what Drager said.
What is this no-tuck rule? Is it really your jersey's not tucked in?
You're not allowed to tuck it in because some of the guys have a really high pad coming out of the top of their hockey pads.
Like Ovechkin.
And it just gets tucked in sometimes deliberately, sometimes by just the way they skate. Mika Zibanejad has a problem with it just because of the way he skates. Sometimes it gets tucked in and he has to keep pulling it out.
Yeah, and I think he's wearing oversized pants too.
Yeah.
It's just what he's comfortable with. But
the league is saying that that pad sticking out could injure another player and you should have a jersey over it. My reaction is,
oh my gosh.
I know how thick a hockey sweater is. How is that really going to save somebody from being hurt by an oversized pad sitting out of somebody's butt? But anyway,
and with that, if that's what your rule is, you better freaking enforce it.
I don't know if I really want that rule there.
Yeah,
I don't care. But if it's a rule, do it. How many times do we see the play and everyone's got their tucks?
I think they're trying to emulate the NFL's very strict regulations on how you wear your uniform, and they are very strict, and they are penalties for having a shoulder pad sticking out or having something not properly tucked in because it's all about presentation for them. But that's the NFL. I mean, they're more than a bit anal about that sort of thing. As for Gallant and Bartsch removing each other's helmets, I love that. That was like, okay, we're going to go again, but let's not destroy our hands. So let's just do this, okay? Okay.
So you take your helmets
NHL,
off.
It's big middle finger to you.
it's a penalty. You're taking your helmet off.
No, you're taking somebody else's helmet off. It's okay.
Oh, I missed this. Okay.
Yeah, they now removed each other's helmet.
That's cool.
It's that gray area, isn't it?
Exactly. And as for hybrid icing, I'm happy they're trying it, but it's going to cause a lot of confusion that is unnecessary. Just use no-touch icing.
Yep. Well,
you don't have to make it a hybrid. Just go to no-touch. It works. The OHL has proven it works. It speeds games up. There's no downside to it except, well, that's not the way we've done it before. As opposed to making the nets smaller or the goalie pads smaller or
implementing
whatever.
A shootout.
Yep. Implementing a shootout. I still hate those.
So we've been on Twitter and some of us have expressed negativity towards hybrid icing, but I think we should be clear. Well, at least I want to be clear that I actually do like the hybrid icing over not having these rules at all. But I fully agree with you. I think no touch is better, but at least hybrid you're sparing the defenseman having to go in there. But you think about even the way they set the rules up, they should go to no touch. So I'm in favor of hybrid because it's a step in the right direction, but I agree. I want them to keep going. But this idea of an icing, you're penalizing that team because they can't make a line change. Well, imagine how fast it would be if it's like, you know, whistle, right, okay, face off now. Not even that time for the defenseman of the team who didn't ice the puck to have to race back and touch it or race back to the face off dot and touch it and come back and then drop the puck, you know.
You want to make it difficult. Yeah. You want to make it difficult, make it no-touch icing, and it's a two-minute penalty if the center is waved off in the face-off.
Yeah.
There you go. Boom. So you have to make sure you do that face-off fairly. You can't cheat.
Yeah. Send in the winger and get him waved out. Yeah.
Send in the winger, get him waved out, blah, blah, blah. Nope, it's your center. And if your center gets waved out, penalty. Make sure you do it right, boys. Hard to say.
Or at least some discretion there, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Homer. Excellent email.
Yeah.
Ben, you're next.
Someone else, but I'll try it. My voice is just going. All right, so this is from Jason. I've moved to Teo. Yuck. And I'm digging your podcast on the subway where there's no phone coverage. Keep feeding me the insider sense info and keep your keep up the good work. Jason.
Oh. Well done. I got the next one from...
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
thanks, indeed. Jason.
Thank you. It's always nice to hear feedback that people like what we're doing. I mean, we like questions and, you know, emails like Homer's with good style, you know, points to discuss on it, but it's always nice to have a little pat on the back once in a while. I have the next one from Special Delivery, and this is a great email, but it's a little bit long, so I'm going to have to do a little bit of editing to cut it out a little bit. No offense, Special Delivery. It's very good. It's just a little long to read the whole thing. Greetings from the Western Conference. As of this year, I've researched and compared some numbers which may or may not be completely accurate for your consideration regarding revenues and team spending. According to the Forbes list, which I understand has to be taken with a grain of salt, the Ottawa Senators are valued around $220 million with an operating profit of $14.5 million in the past year. Compare that to San Jose, valued at $223 million for some reason, and running a debt of $0.9. Some of the things I found greatly impact on a team's revenue outside of regular season ticket prices is when a team makes it into the playoffs and goes all the way to the second round, they make an incredible amount of money. I heard a lot of people refer to the playoffs as the second season. It brings in a lot of extra revenue, not to mention TV deals. And some teams also have their own cable channel, like i.e. the Jets have one, the New York Rangers have one that the Islanders piggyback off on, and others. This also brings in more money. Then you have teams like the LA Kings, who are owned by a multi-billionaire who is barely hit by any loss at all. According to Forbes, the team operated last year around $1.8 million profit, excuse me, probably due to going deep in the playoffs. Other ridiculously rich owners, such as the owner of the Colorado Avalanche, has a net worth of $5.3 billion. And he also owns the St. Louis Rams of the NFL, Arsenal FC of English Premier League, and the Denver Nuggets. The owner of the Rangers is the founder of HBO, owns the Knicks, and they can probably write off their losses for taxes. I'm not exactly sure how all that works. Now, most expensive ticket prices on average in the league. Number one, no big surprise, Toronto, an average of $123.77. Number two, Winnipeg. This surprised me, being Cardo, at an average of $98.27 a ticket. Then it goes Montreal, Edmonton, Vancouver, Calgary for 3, 4, 5, and 6. Ottawa was ranked 15, below Florida, who pulled in at 14. As a hilarious aside, Dallas is last, with the average ticket price of just under $30. My assumption with these numbers are that while ticket prices are important to sales and team spending to the cap, it's far from the entire deal. There's also consideration of teams who don't spend to the cap simply because they may not be right for the team, as buying your way into the playoffs doesn't always pay off. Or it could be that the team still makes lots of money without spending, thus greater profits and prolonging the team's stay. Feel free to discuss Special Delivery.
Okay, wait now, a second. We have a lower average ticket price than the Florida Panthers?
I don't think it's by the tickets sold, though.
It's got to be a stipulation.
Have you heard of their red zone thing?
Oh, yeah. Some of their promos are ridiculous down there.
So it's like something like $400 a ticket, but then it's like a nightclub and dinner and other things like that.
I was going to say, so, do they have one seat that they charge like $2,000 for and it skews off the average or what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you sell eight of them, like in that Panthers...
Yeah, that preseason Preds afternoon game.
Yeah, it's didn't you pay for the pucks you're going to lose during the play?
Exactly right.
A couple things on my notes on this. Well, do you want to talk about Winnipeg on the ticket price first? Is that one you're surprised on?
I was surprised that it was as high as it is on average. I knew that they sold out their arena for, what was it, 3 years or 5 years? Like people had to make long-term commitments.
Commit, I think, for 3 years.
Yeah, but as expensive as... I'm surprised that they are more expensive than Montreal or Vancouver for two.
Yeah.
Never mind places like New York.
Demand and supply.
True. Small arena. Only
the excitement of
16,000.
Having it back.
Yeah, we'll see whether it lasts in 3 or 4 years or be another 4 seasons.
Yeah, and they need to make some type of work to the building or get another one. Because they only house 15,000 too.
That building's really new though. And it's in a downtown area, which you can't just make the building bigger, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a good location.
Yeah, very good. It's a nice building too.
Okay. Another one I wanted to say is, according to the Forbes list, Senators' valuation of 220, yeah, whatever, with an operating profit of $14.5 million this past year. What did Melnick tell us earlier in the summer?
Well, he said that the... Well, it's, I think this may
significant
be...
Significant losses.
Yes. But is Forbes looking at just the hockey team or the entire business, including all the stuff that you had looked at earlier? I don't know.
This is skewing things, though, now. Because 14 and a half mil in the past year. And that's not revenue, that's profit. So someone's not telling the truth here.
Oh, very true. Hard to say who it might be.
Yeah.
Anyway, excellent stuff.
Mm-hmm. Any other points on this, guys?
I didn't have any more.
Very well thought out.
Yeah.
Email.
Great analysis. Thank you for answering the question, which I was, or at least trying to taking a shot at what I was asking about, which was where are these teams getting their money from? Because we had talked a little bit about TV revenue and so on, but actually, I didn't mean to talk about that. But so we looked
at
other things.
Little segue into that news that came out over the past week of what was the survey, Pan, where, you know, even the Sens organization emailed their fan base where the Sens were ranked the number one Canadian sports franchise. What was the criteria for this? This was a strange one, but this was more than just Canada. It was across NFL, NBA, NHL.
Yeah. MLB. I think it's more of a satisfaction survey.
Yeah, because it had where, like, atmosphere, bang for your buck, price. Yeah. And the Sens were like number one in Canada.
In Canada.
And number eight or something overall.
The pricing is fairly appropriate. I think this it was also the success of the team. That the bang for the buck, yeah, last year was fun. You ask Toronto that, this is going to be totally different, right? It's not a good atmosphere to go to because it's all corporate. The bang for your buck, it's $300.
It's ESPN. 122 teams are evaluated.
Yeah. But look at the other Canadian teams. Calgary definitely didn't.
Ninth overall out of 122, the Senators were ranked. And third in the NHL with only Anaheim Ducks and Pittsburgh Penguins. Oh, sorry, no. Behind.
Anaheim was up there, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Pittsburgh, wasn't it?
And last year, the Senators ranked 82nd. And this past season, they're now ranked ninth. So, yeah, I think you're right. That whole kind of the excitement of last season definitely had to factor into this. But it sounds like a very subjective thing, but it's still kind of flattering.
Yeah. The criteria they were looking for, I just pulled up the ESPN article. I happened to find the link to it. It's looking for what teams give the most in return for the emotion, money, and time that fans invest in their favorite clubs. And it covers...
We're doing a freaking free podcast here.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
So, yeah, they're looking at affordability, bang for the buck, coaching, fan relations, ownership, players.
He's going to lose points on ownership.
Stadium experience. And title track.
You know what this tells me? If we're eighth overall, pretty sure ticket prices are going up next year.
They need to go up next year.
Yeah.
They haven't gone up in a while.
It's And did you guys catch Melnick on Friday?
You found out we're over budget?
Yeah, what? Well, I think that's part
of it. You mean down on Elgin Street where he said they were asking about what was going on? He said, no, the team is staying here and I'm proud of them. And
also said something like, to be a winner, you have to be in the top half of spending. Then he said that he is. But, oh, He's got to stop talking.
I was going to say, I've stopped listening, to be honest.
Yeah. He's really turning into that crazy uncle.
Yep.
He's a passionate hockey fan, but he just does not know when to shut his mouth.
Yeah, that's the problem. He's a passionate hockey fan, which I have all the time in the world for that. But do that without telling the media every single thought that comes into your mind.
Especially when most of them don't make sense.
The most of the media or most of the thoughts?
Most of the thoughts. Eugene, I'm telling you, Eugene, get a couple Tim Hortons in those parking lots when everyone's waiting and they're stuck in their cars and they're drinking their coffees. So you get the profits from that and then have maybe like a pay toilet on the exit ramp to the
Exactly right. That would work. Anyway, let's move on. Panju, I had you down for one more email. Do you want me to read that one or do you want to do
please.
It? Okay. This is from Ivan White, longtime listener of Sens Underground Network. Thank you, Ivan.
First time emailer.
I don't think so, but yeah, long time, first time. Okay. Subject is my last word on Alfie. So what if he didn't go anywhere at the deadline during the shortened season and give us some picks, prospects, or players? He took a $1 million paycheck, your welcome cash-strapped owner, his hit was 4.8 regardless, and did everything he could to keep an injury-riddled team on course. Thank you for the memories and for your career, Alfie. Ivan. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I think people's emotions are going to start to switch soon. I'm getting there.
Switch which way?
Well, it is what it is, and
I'm done with it. I just don't care anymore. He's a player on another team, and that's it.
Yeah.
His legacy here is his legacy here, but he's now a player on another team.
Yep, and we'll just end of make story. Sure that we honor it in December when he comes and then move on.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's reading into that because even Melnick was asked, if they're going to retire his number, and he said, when the time is right, we'll do something appropriate.
that's the right answer.
But people are like, what do you mean appropriate?
Who's gonna write thank you Alfie on the ice?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was the right thing to say because don't get boxed in. For once he didn't shoot his mouth off. He said the right thing, which was nothing.
He's the longest serving NHL captain.
He doesn't have a letter now.
He was. And and his commitment here in Ottawa, it seems to be a no-brainer that you would recognize his number in some fashion when the time's right.
I
don't think it's a season. That's another time.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Canuck, you got the last one.
Yes, Ivan White also emailed back and said, I hate the Sens hockey socks. And noticed them immediately after they changed them from the swish ones that actually almost matched the new jerseys. Also, does anyone who works for the Sens marketing advertising PR department have any clue about what their job titles actually mean? I'd say he was in rant mode at that point.
I haven't seen the socks. I haven't noticed the socks, to be honest, because I haven't been watching the games on TV. I've only been listening to them on the radio, except for 2 minutes earlier today, and that doesn't really count. As for marketing/advertising/PR, it's a very good question, Ivan.
Fearless.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No.
I don't know why we need a slogan every year.
Well, that's just it. Like, if you come with a slogan every year, it's tricky, right?
Yeah, and coming up with a new one that every year is tricky. Coming up with a new one that's good every year is even trickier. And
Be red. Be redder.
Be redderist? Yes. Enough. Anyway, thank you, Ivan, and the other folks for sending email. It's always good to hear from folks, and it's always good to, especially, we like hearing that people are listening to us. That's always good for us, but it's also good to have questions asked or questions answered. So thank you for both. Guys, it's really late. Our voices are giving out. I think we should stick a fork in this one for this week, unless there's something specific you want to talk about.
No, I'm done.
Okay.
Season starts Friday.
That's right. Season starts Friday.
At New Jersey.
Are we going to come back before your California trip? Or probably.
No, during. You're taking your stuff with you. During.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be like 2 weeks of games. It's going to be nuts.
No. Oh, we'll be back at some point, I would think.
Oh, CB Inc., let us know if you're doing the game recap for Toronto.
Nice.
Well, I know he likes doing the Leaf ones. So.
Okay, well, that'd be good. That's the first game of the season, isn't it?
No, second. Next Friday?
Second.
Who are we playing in the opener?
Buffalo. Jersey.
Two different answers. I can't remember. That's why I'm asking.
Friday, Buffalo, 7 o'clock.
Ah, sorry.
Saturday, back-to-back game. Of course, play the Leafs. Week ahead.
Oy. Lovely. Thank you. I didn't do the week ahead. Appreciate the help. I forgot to write that down.
18 hours on the plane with me and Canuck.
We've been doing off-season podcasts for so long, I forgot to do the week ahead. Thank you for picking up the slack on that one. Appreciate it. So, folks, email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. With questions or with anything you want us to talk about or telling us that we're wrong. Lord knows I am most of the time. Visit the forums at sensunderground.com. They're getting busier, and especially with the regular season starting, there'll be game threads and rants and all sorts of other stuff, especially if you happen to like bacon. There's a good ongoing thread about bacon. Mm. I have to admit that I didn't see Sistine's pictures about making another bacon explosion on Twitter. I'll have to go back and see if he actually posted them. I was away. I didn't get a chance to see them. And my apologies, during our last episode, I mentioned an informal survey about what new sweater people were getting and if they were going to be customized or if they're going to be blank. There were some replies in the forums on sendsunderground.com. I forgot to put it out on Twitter, so I think I'll wait till the opening night and put it out then when there are lots of people watching the game and have that info for the next podcast. So, still time to let us know if you're getting a new one, or if you are getting a new one, which one is it, and how's it customized? Until next time, hopefully we'll all be a little more energetic because it won't be quite so late at night, and we'll all have a little bit more voice, and we're going to have good news because the Sens are going to start off the season not the way that they ended the preseason. They're going to start them off well. Until next week, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you.
Later.
Bye.
This is Troy Rakowski, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
Awesome. Thanks.